First, let me begin by saying it's great to be a Detroit Lion. I believe the time is now. Not 2 years or 3 years from now, down the road somewhere, but right here, right now.
He dives in for the touchdown. Did he get it? Yes, sir, he did. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Matthew took it across, and the Lions have taken the lead with 12 seconds to go.
There's one goal here, and one promise I made to Mrs. Ford is winning. If we can get one step better every day, that's putting this organization in the right direction.
Matthews got it. Gives to Abdullah right side. Got a hole. Abdullah 20. Abdullah 10. Sinks the man at the 8. And dances into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The Detroit Lions Podcast Post Game Show with your hosts, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is the live post-game show. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. Don't forget that. And, of course, we're the most plagiarized show in Detroit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. Case, how you doing, my man?
Chris, I just heard that the Detroit Lions have purchased us all some very nice Christmas presents, and I'll let you know what they are in a second.
Oh, very, very nice. That's
I'm opening mine as we speak.
Yeah, I've got an open wound. But okay, well, hey, look, it's that thing. It's that time of year. Comes around this time every year, sometimes a little earlier, sometimes a little later. It's not Christmas I'm talking about. It's that elimination from playoff contention. We're going to talk about that. We're going to have a roundtable, and we're going to be taking your calls. Of course we have a big show. It's a great show. And it's going on right now. Case, you ready to go, my man?
Oh, Chris, it's just what I've always wanted. Total and complete embarrassment.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
Only live listeners know what happened there. All right, time for some quick announcements. Please check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam. I don't even care where he is anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's in Japan. It's always Guam. We're fixing that. All right, Michael, Matt, Eric, Joel. And Joel the Muff Muncher, too. Nick Noodle, Jeffrey, Brendan, Benjamin, Justin, John, Ross, Matthew, Morgan, Peter, Randy, Matt G, Kalen, Scott, Greg, Lucas, David, Richard, Bryce, Chuck, Nasty, Fight Me, Case, Mike K, Floundericious, Ryan, Zach, Gina, Miak, Malcolm, Dan, Gary, Peter, Von Panda, Skyler, Mario, Lucas, Tim, Nicholas, Jesse, Pilo, and of course our very first donor, Mathis. Also, I want to call out our newest patrons, WingsFan1, Jason, Ryan, Cameron, Paul, Taylor, Adam, and we got a brand new one, Case, just as the Lions were eliminated. He jumped on the bandwagon. Ken F. Ken from Michigan, thank you so much, across the Twitter machine. And we just got some big ups from Dalaxy. Also want to say hey to Brian B. from I Prevail. I think we're going to get into some songwriting here together, guys. You think about this. We got something there. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. We'll see how it goes. You want to join the Patreon club and help the show out? We appreciate those who did. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. Submit for like $1 a month or more. We'll send you some additional content. And I've been remiss. I'm going to pummel you guys a little bit in the coming weeks as I have some spare time. So Patreon donors, get ready for a download of Chris's minuscule messed up brain. Also, don't forget to give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. That's facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And check us out on the Tweeter Maker. Get some of that Tweeter cheese at DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast is the very best place to see Case.
With throwing up the Yuletide joy.
Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. Those reviews are great. We love those 5-star reviews. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for that little compliment there, Tactical Napper. In the live chat, you guys, you got to listen to this live. That's where the fun is. Don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, or call us on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Go over there, leave us a message, and you get a chance to hear yourself on that weekly show.
This is no time for a quick release. We're going deep.
Oh, my goodness. Bryce, writer Bryce, he's in the live chat. He says it best. I want to be dead. That was a complete shit show down in Cincinnati by a team that has no right to even be mentioned in the same sentence as the word playoffs. What an absolute, abject failure. Does that sum up the game case, or is there more we need to say?
Complete joke. I remember last year, early in the year, we had that loss to the Bears, and I think, you know, you had to talk me into coming on the post game.
Yeah,
because I was like, that was, it was the worst performance I'd seen from our team in a long time at that moment in time. This is the next, this is on that same level. I'm not as brokenhearted as I was back then because I already wasn't expecting the Lions to make the playoffs. And there is some degree of silver lining in this game that I think, you know, it creates some change. But just in terms of how embarrassed I am, how terrible this was, like, who are these guys and what have they done, you know? I think there are three players, you know, that, and we can get into that, that I think had good games. Everybody else was fucking terrible. Mm-hmm. And guys who've been really good were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how to explain that. The only explanation I can come up with is the weather, and this team is notoriously bad in bad weather. But I mean, it wasn't that bad that this should have been the result. So this was like, I don't know how to explain why they were so bad, because you get a level of expectation and on a week by week basis, they, you know, either exceeded or disappoint by, you know, a small margin. To have a game where they underperform by this much is just, it's a little shocking to the system, and it makes it hard to explain how did this happen? How? And right now, in this moment, I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, and right now, the pitchforks and torches are flaming on the Fire Caldwell thing, and we're going to talk about this, and I've got a viewpoint, and this is, you know, we've told you guys this, we don't set up fake arguments and that kind of bullshit, where it's straight from the heart, right?
We tried that once and it was horrible. Miserably.
It's got to be real for us or we just walk away from this thing. That's just the way it's got to be. But I've got a point on this. It's a little contrarian. I agree. I want Caldwell on the street. I want to be the guy that serves him a scoop of soup at the homeless shelter, to be frank and honest about the situation. But it's not going to happen. As hard and terrible as that is, it's not going to happen. And I think the real conversation is about what that's going to do to the team. In case, I know we'll disagree on this in a little bit, just because we had a little pregame 2-minute kind of back and forth about what we saw. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that. But right now, everybody is all about firing Caldwell, and I agree. He's definitely not the guy, and it's terrible. I want to put out a quick stat that I saw roll by on the Twitter machine. This is a team in the Bengals that has lost to the Bears and the Vikings by a combined total of 67-14. They put more points on the Lions than they did combined on the Bears and the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
That Lions defense was an abject failure out there today. That was inexplicably horrible, and I know they're not a great defense. The secondary is pretty good. Slay looked good for a while, and then, you know,
yeah, he did not have a good day. You know, and he's one of the guys that had an inexplicably bad performance today. So,
yeah, it's that was bad. And Lawson going out with into the concussion protocol. That's a whole bunch of shit. But the team came out flat. They came out in Caldwell's personality. That's just how they've come out all year. This is obviously, look, you can say it's a personnel thing, but I really feel like it's a coaching thing, right? You could say it's the makeup of the team to come out that way, but I just think this is Caldwell. You hear him every time in the post game, in the pre, never get too high, never get too low, right? No, you can't be on Prozac.
Never get prepared is apparently his motto. So,
yeah, that was just absolutely horrific. Let's talk really quick, Case, about the challenge. Do you think that was a challenge that he should have thrown? I mean, of course, now in hindsight, right? 2020, sure, throw it. What the heck? You got nothing to lose. You're going to lose the game anyway, right? I mean, you can say that. But in the moment, what was your thoughts on throwing the challenge flag on that Tate catch?
I would have. I'm not an NFL coach. I'm just a armchair, you know, dude with a microphone. I would have, it's not the most, again, I don't feel like that was a horrendously egregious failure. I think he should have, though. So like that is, that in particular is not the reason why I think that he failed the team today. Like that one instance is just one little tiny blip. And to me, that's a close decision. That's a really close decision either way. I can see defending it either way. I think he should have, and I think most people will think he should have, but like that in and of itself is a pretty minor like failure. There were so many other major failures that they may not all be as tangible as that. And that's why we point to that, because it's such a tangible moment in the game where, you know, a decision had to be made one way or the other, and you make the right decision, you know, it helps you make the wrong decision, it ends the game for you, you know, et cetera, et cetera. He was, you know, trusting that they would have another opportunity to go after something. And obviously that didn't happen. There were just so many other failures, and so I think to focus in on that one little thing, I think that really is like a short-sighted way to look at how bad he is as a coach. to pick that one thing to be the thing that makes you say, oh, he's a bad coach. No, there's lots of things going on here that are not okay.
Yeah, so I guess let's throw the phone number out there now, because I know there's a lot of rage in the machine that needs to get out. And we talk about this. This is a therapy session. I mean, as much for us as it is for you guys, right? I mean, there's Case, when I had to pry him in after that Bears game, he was even after doing that show, the therapy. I mean, he needed actual real hardcore therapy.
I was broken. Not for in like a good place, man.
You were really, really in bad shape there. But this, it does help. It does help. Call us up, get it out. It's okay. It's okay to be angry. This is a team that I've been angry with almost every season since the late 70s. So we'll open up those lines to you guys. 248-782-8384. 248-782-8384. Or give us a ring on Skype. Use your old Skyper. Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word. Detroit Lions Podcast. We'll take your calls and we'll talk about it. A little bit. We got a great point here if we want to talk about the coaching staff. Tactical Napper, which that's a really sweet name, by the way. He says, put in the hot dog vendor from Brush to replace Caldwell. I'm not too down on that idea here on the last game of the season. Let's start talking about coaches, Case, you and I, and we'll see where it goes and who wants to call in. Should we fire Caldwell? We'll start there.
Yes. But the truth of the matter is that I've been saying that for a long time. I didn't think that Quinn should have kept him on before. I thought that it was a like kind of a lame duck move. It wasn't that I didn't understand it, because I did understand why they kept him on, you know, in previous seasons, but that he just has such a low ceiling, and it was another example. And if you look at the Lions' schedule in the second half of the year, and I got optimistic, unfortunately, that we would be able to make something of the weak schedule we had. But now we've come out and lost several games that we should have won in terms of like where the team, like where this team peaked, which was, you know, the few weeks coming out of the bye. Even though I know we lost to the Steelers, that was still like the beginning of their ascent to, you know, their peak form this season. Well, they only lasted there for a few weeks, and since then they have come crashing down. And I don't get how players like Stafford were having that bad a game, like Matt Prater, you know, having a terrible, you know, kick. Like he's so money from those kicks, and that was probably the worst kick I've ever seen him make. And those inexplicable things. And I get that some of that is chance, and that some of that is just going to happen. But when you have that many of those things happening in one game, that's always, always, always going to be when I turn my focus on who is not mentally getting these guys in the right situation for this. And that is the coaches. And that is their job. And it is their job to, and as much as you want to point to Stafford being a leader, and I do, and I'm not going to, I am not going to like forget that he had this game. Like he's going to need, he needs to bounce back next week. And then he needs to come out strong next season, because this is not a good way to end an end a year. But at the same time, like there's the rung above him is still the guys who are really the ones responsible for the mental preparedness of the team, and that just abjectly failed.
All right, we got a caller. Hey, what's your name, caller? It's you get to weigh in before I do on the coaching situation.
Hey, how you guys doing? Long time fan of your show. I go by CJ Truthsayer on Twitter.
Hey, how you doing, CJ?
So I'm listening. Hey, pretty good, man. I love your show, love your podcast.
Thanks, man.
Detroiter, I live in North Carolina now, so I have to kind of watch the games either in a bar or Sunday Ticket or at a buddy's house. So
I get that.
It's good. It's good to get the after or the post game therapy. So I wanted to weigh in on the coaching situation. I listen to you guys every week, man, and I hear you say fire Caldwell. Here's the thing. When it comes down to the numbers, just the pure numbers, Caldwell, he's a sound coach. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm going to get a lot of pushback with that. But if you're looking at this guy across the table and you're looking over his resume, he has a winning resume. So I'm understanding you guys want to fire this guy for, you're leading the charge to fire this guy over the intangibles. Mm-hmm. I mean, Stafford has to make the throw. Prater has to make the kick. This isn't high school. These guys are professionals. Prater didn't make that kick. That's shame on him. That's not a get this guy mentally ready for the game type thing.
So I don't disagree at all. But
okay.
But I will disagree.
My thing is,
but go ahead. Go ahead. I'll let you finish your thought. Sorry, okay. I didn't want to jump in on you like that.
No. It's fine. So here's my thing: we fire Caldwell for what? What are we looking for? So we're doing this science experiment of, hey, I want a coach who understands the game clock, and I want a coach who understands the offense and defense. And I mean, if this guy was out there, we would have hired him. And here's the second part of that: this year, there are so many coaches that are going to get fired. So the just the simple field of who's available is going to just it's going to be a quagmire, man, an absolute quagmire.
CJ, I think you're stealing my thunder, yeah. Bro. that's great. I'm glad you brought it up because it makes me feel good. I'm not alone. There's going to be anywhere from 11 to 13 coaching positions open in the NFL this offseason. You're talking almost half the league. And you're right. If even if that wasn't the case and we had never had Caldwell would be a guy that we're looking at with his record and his numbers right now, right? And we've talked about this before. Who do you replace him with? Well, now you're in competition, right? Say it's the low number, 11 teams fighting for the available coaching staff that are out there this year. What's your chance? How good are you going to be at getting the best one? Are the Lions a good place to land? Probably. So who's the superstar? Who's the superstar you're going to hire this year that's going to be available that's better than Caldwell? Because he's going to be here for at least 3 years. If he does a bad job, it'll be 3 years and you'll be getting your next one. Stafford's career at that point, I mean, you can't count on him. Now you're looking for a coach and a fucking quarterback because he's only got a couple of years left after that point. This is it. This is the biggest fucking call this organization and this GM has had to make in a long, long time. That's why when I look at the competition out there for coaches and I look at the quality of who's out there this year, I don't fire Caldwell. And I don't, you know, I have to look at the rules. I don't remember. I think I remember something. You can't go searching for a coach until you fire the one you got. But if you can, I'm out there recruiting. If I don't get Josh McDaniels, who I think will stay in New England after Belichick leaves because he wants that personnel decision-making authority, You look at Matt Patricia, even as a guy. I don't know. I don't know that those are your guys. Mike Vrabel, is he the guy? Will you get him this year? And if you do, aren't you kind of rolling the dice? I mean, any hire is rolling the dice, but you're taking a guy who really hasn't been coaching that long and throwing him in a head coaching position. Absolutely. Are you going to turn out to be the Rams and strike, you know, strike gold? It's not what the Lions typically do. I don't feel real good about that. I am absolutely 100% certain that Caldwell is not the coach that's going to take this team to the Super Bowl. I will tell you straight up, that's what I believe. But the timing on this and the who else is out there, who else is being fired, and what the field looks like for talent, I got to tell you, I don't know if this is the year. I don't think Caldwell gets fired. I don't. I think Quinn's going to keep him.
I agree with you. Here's another thing to look at. Green Bay, and Green Bay is they're about to be in the wilderness. Their team is horrible.
We're gonna talk a little bit about Green Bay later too, and their little right. Rodgers. But go.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Hey guys, thank you for having me on. I love your show. Love your podcast. Keep doing the good thing.
Oh, thanks a lot.
You guys, take it easy.
I'm gonna respond. So keep listening, and you'll hear what I have to say about everything you guys.
We'll do, Kay. Hey guys, take it easy.
Thanks, CJ. Yep. Man, have a great Christmas. All right.
Caldwell is not the worst coach in the league. I don't want to be misunderstood by suggesting that he is. I think he's average. And I mean that. Like there are a lot of really terrible coaches in the league, and everybody hates their coach. Like, there's only a handful of teams who like their coach. You know, the Patriots, the Vikings, you know, there aren't very many teams who really think their coach is a good coach. Okay? A few. Mm-hmm. So I get that Caldwell is like an average coach. I don't want people to misunderstand. But as you said, he is not the guy who is ever going to take this team to a higher level. From here on in, I have a hard time seeing them being a better team under him than they are now. He started off at a high point. There was a dip and a whatever. They're going to normalize out. And what we're seeing right now, in my opinion, is where they're normalizing out to. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I also understand that by firing him and going after some unknown commodity, the Matt Patricia's, Josh McDaniels is not necessarily an unknown, but how good a coach he'll be in his second time around is an unknown. Going after whoever it might be, there's a lot of unknown. I would also point out, how frequently do sure thing head coaches become available?
Well, never, right? Because
right, exactly.
They're sure thing.
Every sure thing head coach started as an unsure prospect. So, I mean, so I understand, and I think most fans understand, that just because you hire a new coach doesn't mean that that's going to be a successful move. Very well, maybe a downgrade in the end. Mm-hmm. We don't know. But you also, I don't see this year as any different than what's going to be the next year or the year after that, to be perfectly frank. Like, and I'm not claiming to be an expert on all of the potential coaching, candidates that could be out over the next few years. But I will say that there are a few guys that are coming out this year who I think are high ceiling coaching potential guys, McDaniels, Patricia, Vrabel, and several other that I've heard from other guys. Several other that I've heard from other people, and I'm not going to speak to them necessarily directly because they're not guys that I've personally done enough research on to have, you know. But I think that, you know, if you go after a high ceiling guy and miss out, then at least you swung at something. And I really just and don't get me wrong, I understand the value of consistency, and I understand that like, if you get a guy who you can try to, you know, build pieces around. But I have not felt that Caldwell or his staff or the entire coaching staff has done a good job whatsoever in developing talent, despite the fact that that was his reputation as a talent developer. That is not something that I see as a strong suit. And so to me, they can keep drafting players, I have no confidence whatsoever that those players are going to be guys that become, you know, very, you know, like significant role players. The number of players who are on this team right now who have become good or better since this coaching staff has come in is a very small number. You've got like Slay. Actually, I would, one of the guys that I was going to talk about today, you know, who had a really good game, Quandre Diggs. You could maybe make an argument for Ebron, but you're talking about a really slow development there, and that's not necessarily a feather I think you could stick in their hat. And there just are so many players and players who have regressed, players who are, so it's like, to me, that Caldwell and this coaching staff in terms of their ability to develop players is not going to make this team any better going forward. And so this is the moment when you switch gears and you take that risk to go in a different direction. That's my opinion. I get that, like, and I don't feel like that's, I get where people are coming from with staying pat because they think, you know, well, this thing has gone well, or this thing has gone well, and I'm not going to argue with that, but there's so much that has gone negative that I think that you're at a position where if you keep him on, that stuff's just going to continue to get negative.
That's all you got to say about it, boy. So, look, first off, I'm going to disagree with you on one point, and it's probably a minor point that's tangential. But you said you get that consistency is important. I don't think consistency is important at all in this case with Caldwell. That's not the reason that I would keep Caldwell. It's not even on a list of reasons I'd keep him, because the consistency we get out of him is consistently unable to win clutch games. Consistently unable to, you know, oh yeah, the comebacks are fun. The comebacks are a riot. It's a great meme.
How many of those have we had this year?
But even with them, it's really never against the team that we should beat, right? It's always, oh, close. Oh, that 10-second runoff. Oh, the Vikings beat us at home. Well, we beat them on the road, whatever. You know, it's always just, the comebacks are fun and exciting and yay, but it's never in a clutch game. It's never in a big game. Every time we get in a game like this game here, people start talking. And I started saying, anyone feeling it? Anyone feeling that old Lions tingle down low as the game's going on? And every time we get a game we need to win, this is against the Cincinnati fucking Bengals. Look, they've got good talent, but they're a shitty team. And we should have beat them today. And it was a very important game for us to beat them. And we sucked. When we played Minnesota earlier this year, we were poised to beat them. We sucked. Every time, the Bears game last year, every time we have a clutch game that's key to a playoff run or to winning a division or doing anything. We watched we gave it away against the Packers and watched them win out last year. Every time this team sucks. And we don't need that kind of consistency. We don't want consistency at all. We want a fucking change out of this team. That's why Caldwell needs to go. And that's why I'm 100% on the fire to Caldwell train. But I have to ask, who the fuck, right? Okay, I get it. We'll take a swing. Okay, Mike Vrabel, let's give him a shot. But you know the swing you're taking is a swing for the end of Stafford's career. Okay, and you've got to be comfortable with it. And I want all the people out there that are saying, especially in the emotion after a game, all the people that are out there that are saying, yep, absolutely, just take a swing. That if we swing and miss, they fucking own it and take it and say, you know what? Hey, I was wrong. I told them to swing and miss, and it's my fault. But don't sit there and bitch about the team, right? Because they would have swung and missed. They would have been the one that brought that miss in as well. Okay, that's all. Because I hear so many people that'll pound the table and say, oh, no, so we just got to fire him, fire, fire, fire. And then we fire him and we replace him with fucking 7-9 bullshit. I can't even think of his fucking name because I'm so fucking angry right now. But
Fisher.
Fisher, thank you. We replace him with that kind of shit. And then they say, why the fuck? You know, Caldwell, like when Linehan was gone. Remember how people still think about, why did we get rid of Linehan? Right. Well, they were the same people carrying torches over that. So you just got to own it. Own your decision and go with it. That's all. That's all I care about. So we got a call. Sounds like with all the shuffling, ruffling, it might be Bryce. Is that you back there, man?
I want to be dead.
It is. How's it going? Bryce Rossler, one of the writers for the DetroitLionsPodcast.com. I recommend you check his stuff out. And we got a pretty hot project going on in the background, too. How you doing, Bryce? What do you got, man?
I'm doing all right. You got my tree fitty?
Tree fitty. You ain't getting shit.
I know it. Okay, so can you guys hear me all right? Am I echoing?
No, you're fine.
Okay. So when I called in Case kind of touched on this, I think he cleared it up for me, but I wanted to clarify. Case, do you when you say that this, that we've kind of, that Caldwell's met his threshold, like that, like 9-7, you know, 8-8 type of area, 10-6 maybe, are you saying that that's all that Caldwell is capable of as a coach in and of himself or with the talent on the roster? Because I think that's an important distinction that we'd have to make.
Here's the problem. I don't see him developing the talent to get them better. And that, and that's a huge, and I get your, where you're looking for that distinction, because I don't think that Lions fans are all on the same page about where exactly the talent level of this team is, because we drafted all these, like we drafted a lot of guys who came in, you know, and we were really excited about, and guys who we thought had really high ceilings. And so we talk about this being a high talent team, and very few of those players are actually achieving the level that we wanted or thought they would. Players like A'shaun Robinson, who I'm not saying is a bad player, but he's certainly not, you know, he flashed early this year. And then for the most part, where has he been?
He's made a few plays here, but. Right.
I get that. But that's not, he's not the only one. You know what I mean? Jared Davis has had a really rough rookie season. You know, we've got the player in Tahir Whitehead who should have seen some development over the last few years. And maybe you can say he's played better, you know, at the weak side linebacker this year, but he still has the same problems he's always had. And I mean, I could run down the entire roster, and including, you know, a lot of offensive linemen who we've seen, you know. I just don't have faith that this coaching staff can build the talent level that's already on the team to take them another step forward.
See, I think that's where you and I disagree, because during Caldwell's tenure, and I'll more reference the last couple of years, I think we've seen several players develop, you know, fairly well. Probably the biggest example of that is Darius Slay.
Darius Slay isn't better than he was.
Well, that's a gimme. Darius has been, he didn't have a great game today, but Darius has been lights out for quite a while now. He's won. I think Marvin Jones is one.
Yeah, but Marvin Jones was already building on a trajectory. Like, Marvin Jones has gotten it better every year of his career. I don't know how much of that I can attribute to Caldwell.
I mean, and you could make that case, but.
And he's a free agent. He wasn't a rookie that we drafted. Same with Golden Tate. Golden Tate came here and exploded. But I don't think you can, you know, necessarily credit that to the, you know, the talent development on our staff.
I mean, you can make that case, but coaching, it's not just. And here's the thing: like, everything is like, a lot of people try to make everything black and white. Everybody tries to make it all on the coaching staff. Everybody, you know, most people try to make it on the coaching staff. There are some people in nowhere land who think it's Stafford, who want to put it all on Stafford. But it's usually a mixture of both. It takes a player putting in the work, and it takes a coach to be able to work with that work ethic to develop talent. So I think the coaching staff deserves a little bit of credit for what's happened with Marvin Jones, at least. I think Graham Glasgow developed really well. He's been much, much better this year than he was.
How about
last
Travis
year.
Swanson? There's Travis your counterpoint.
But he's been fighting injury. Right?
Yeah, okay.
But he has not. But even when he wasn't hurt, Travis.
Leary Warford before him. You know, I don't know. Like, I can run down a whole
list. He took a step back.
He took a big step forward, though. I mean, that year from when he stepped up, right? He took a huge step forward, and then he started getting injured, and you can't tell what's Travis Swanson you have. Just like you can't tell what Rick Wagner you have this year, or what TJ Lang you have this year, or on down the line, because people are just hurt across the offensive line. So I just don't think Travis Swanson, just like you can't put Darius Slay in that mix, because, okay, fine, he's a gimme. I don't think you can put Travis Swanson in, because I don't think you have the right kind of data to evaluate that.
So
I would just say that we have failed at developing offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, running backs. Like, there aren't a lot of places that we've had success developing players on this team.
See, I disagree with especially the defensive line part. A'shaun Robinson this year, if A'shaun Robinson, I'm a little bit disappointed, because in that New Orleans game, he looked like he was a franchise defensive tackle. Like, I got real, real excited with his tape on that New Orleans game.
Where has he been since then?
And yeah, his problem is that he plays with high pad level. But if you look at some of the technical points of A'shaun Robinson's game from last year to this year, he has refined his game a lot from year one to two. The way he uses his hands, the way he diagnoses run schemes and determines which way the ball is going on run plays, like, he has improved in those areas. And I think some of that is coaching. Some of it is him having, you know, having a year NFL experience under his belt, you know, getting better in that area. But some of that is coaching. I think Coach Chris Kocurek has done a fantastic job with the defensive line in his Lions tenure. Ansa did really, really well in 2015. I don't think he's been healthy since then. So that's a little different.
He's actually one of my players that I think had a really good game today, but like,
he did have a really good game, but, he beat up on Croft, who's a tight end, for one of those sacks. And then Clint Bowling. I mean, that was still a nice play, but I mean, I think everybody can agree he's not been the same for whatever reason. Kocurek got a great year out of Hager last year. Anthony Zettel's been probably outperforming his talent. I think the Lions do a good job.
He was early in the year. I haven't seen Anthony Zettel do anything in the second half of the season.
I think, look, if you're a team that's scheming against the Lions defensive line, who are you keying on? Where's the big talent? It isn't Ziggy Ansah, right? It isn't Anthony Zettel. He's average at best, right? You lost Haloti Ngata. You remember when we had Ndamukong Suh and there was games and seasons when people were out and hurt, when all they did is double Ndamukong, and it was like, okay, well, that's what his role is going to be. He can't get through. He can't break through that because he's constantly doubled, but that leaves our other guys open, right? Well, they're doing that to A'shaun, and you have really very, very low talent on the defensive line otherwise. Ziggy can't play because he's hurt, and the rest of the guys are messed up. But so, once Haloti was gone, that jacked up the entire line. Zettel played great early. Why? Because they couldn't just easily key on him with the one real threat out of the way. It becomes a lot easier to clean up the rest of the junk that's out there.
Yeah, and that there's definitely some truth to that. But my point being, and you've seen it with Nevin Lawson. Quandre Diggs has had a great year, so I don't think. And Stafford,
I really, really am happy with Quandre Diggs right now. I'm happy with that. Stafford, I'm surprised, but I am.
But my point is this: like, there are a number, and I could keep going, but I think there are a number of players who have improved since Caldwell's been here. I don't think talent development is a problem. I think here's where I stand on Caldwell. Caldwell is not a great coach, and I don't think anybody's debating that. I think Caldwell is a coach that you're not going to win because of or lose in spite of. You're going to win with him. So I think Caldwell can get the talent on your roster to where it needs to go. But Caldwell is not the type of coach that is going to make chicken salad out of chicken shit. But
it's going to be a white bread when he serves it, no matter what. But
I think the Lions are worse this year than they were last year.
Yep.
The offensive line is worse. If you want to look at the advanced stats, their power success rate, you know, like third and short, things like that, has halved since last year, and they were 31st last year. They've allowed the most sacks. The offensive line being beat up has something to do with that. But you look at who did the Lions add this offseason that has – who's the best addition the Lions made this offseason? I mean, that's,
I don't know.
That's a question.
I honestly have no idea.
I would say it's Jamal Agnew.
Yeah, actually, so I think you're probably right.
When your best offseason addition is a day three backup cornerback and punt return team, that says a lot about your offseason. Now, I'm not saying that Quinn did a bad job. You know, a lot of people rag on him for not adding defensive line, but I think he expected Ziggy back healthy. He expected to have Hyder. He expected to have Haloti. And he added some nice depth pieces. You know, Keem Spence and Cornelius Washington are two players that I like in certain roles. So I'm not going to knock Quinn for that, but the talent that he, you know, Rick Wagner's been hurt. TJ Lang's been really hurt all year. He's been banged up. They didn't have Decker. You know, Jared Davis, I've talked about his struggles at length. Really hoping he gets it. I'm not going to close the book on him yet. I don't think
he's closed
the book on any
not.
Of these guys yet. And I don't think anybody really is. But when I step back and I look at this roster this year and look at the roster last year, to me, I'm just looking big picture. I'm saying this team is not any better than last year. In all likelihood, is a little bit worse. So to me, and everybody, there were some people that were on the, you know, fire Caldwell wagon, you know, earlier than this season. But to me, to look at his body of work this season, you know, 8-8, 9-7, or, you know, depending on what happens with the Packers game next week, even though it's irrelevant. I think looking at the whole body of work, just the season, just results based work, I think Caldwell's done an okay job with the team. So, and it goes back to what you guys were saying. Like, do you fire him and take a gamble? You know, there are some very good head coaching candidates out there. You know, Matt LaFleur, the Rams offensive coordinator, is a good one. Fitt, the quarterback coach in Philly, is a good one. But like Chris said, you know, this is a limited pool of talent you're going to be drawing from, and it's always a risk. Now that said, the opportunity for an offensive-minded coach to come and work with Matthew Stafford is a very, very appealing. I don't think that's a very difficult sell at all, but the question is, do you want to roll the dice on it?
So, you know, let me...
Or does Quinn trust himself to add the talent and then have, you know, add talent, have the pieces that he's added so far get healthy or develop further or whatever, and then come in next year with a healthier roster, a more talented roster, and see if Caldwell can't do 10-6, 11-5, and do something in the playoffs.
So,
personally would give Caldwell one more year.
Right now, I'm at a point where whether you keep Caldwell or not, best case scenario, you're 2 years away from a good playoff run. Right? I mean, that's the best case scenario. And the thinking is, you know, I'm tainted a little bit from our last coaching kind of search when we hired Caldwell, because there was, you know, there was, I think, four teams going for head coaches that offseason, and Caldwell was a safe.
None of them ended up being very good.
No. But Caldwell was a safe improvement. Wiz was a safe improvement at that time over where we were. The common thinking at that time was you don't have the foresight, right, of future knowledge. So you put yourself back in that time. They were safe upgrades from where we are. And that may be, you know, I have to open the admit, that may be clouding my judgment right now, because I don't see any safe upgrades from Caldwell, right? But the thing is, and like I said, when you take this swing, you're taking a swing on the rest of Stafford's career. And the thing, I think the real conversation about firing Caldwell is this person going to be the guy that's going to elevate the team for the rest of Stafford's career, to get Stafford and the team to the point where they can win a Super Bowl? Or is, in the case of keeping Caldwell, is that institutional rot? Caldwell being there, you see where Tate was. Tate's wife is tweeting mean things about him not getting the ball. You know, it's really shots at Caldwell, but not naming Caldwell by name. You know that there's some, he's lost part of the locker room, at least some of the players in that locker room. Is keeping him around the death knell? It's like, and this is it for Quinn, right? We look at it. I say you got to fire Jim Bob Cooter. His offense is just not working for this team. His first and 10, run it up the middle, run it slightly left the middle. It's got to go.
Real quick. That was another weird thing about this game. This game looked offensively like a game from the first, you know, six games of the year, as opposed to what we've seen recently.
We saw an
in
evolution.
Terms of the play calling.
When the seat got hot, the team evolved. And right. And all of a sudden started doing things differently
today
that were successful. Today they reverted back to conservative Caldwell, conservative Cooter.
Which we've said that they probably would at some point.
But only when they feel safe. And that's the problem. They felt like they could beat the Bengals today. The Bengals were going to beat them. And they played that shitty offense. When they feel safe, they fall back to that. I don't want a coach that has to play scared all the time. So if you think about it, you're like, Caldwell has to fire Cooter, right? He was too late getting rid of Lombardi. Now he's too late getting rid of Cooter. How long are we going to let him see these failed experiments continue? And you have to then extrapolate that up the food chain to Quinn. All right. We're seeing these mistakes happen over and over, not just with not firing his failed coordinators or taking too long to do it, but on failed challenge plays, failed clock management, failed too few people on the field, more than any team should ever do in a fucking season. Once we did it 3 times, was it this year, that we couldn't get enough fucking people on the field for defense? You have a coach that has a string of failures and just missteps and incalculable stupidity throughout the season. It is really, I'm kind of evolving here as we have this conversation. It is on Quinn to fucking fire Caldwell, and he's got to find someone. And hey, tough shit, Quinn. It's a tough job. Yeah, this sucks. That's the nature of the Lions, and you got to find somebody. And I tell you, I still think that they're going to reach into the Patriot organization. You're going to find someone who's been successful. And I'm at right now, I'm not a McDaniels guy. I'm not a Patricia guy. And I've been through both of them now in my love affair and then push him to the back. I'm on Mike Vrabel right now. I'm like, he's got to be the guy. If you're going to take the swing, here's a guy who's been successful. Here's a guy who knows Quinn, who knows kind of the same, you know, mental approach to the game, though the system. I think here's a guy you can bring in and could make some things happen. That's the swing I'm after. The rest of the guys out there, I've been to this point probably because there was safe picks for coaches that were guaranteed to get us better. But Caldwell, we've reached Caldwell's ceiling with this team. If he gets lucky, he may win a playoff game. Oh, he can get us to the Super Bowl, maybe. But I don't think he can get this Lions team to the Super Bowl. I don't think he can get a Lions team to the Super Bowl unless he gets 50 shots at it. Right, I just don't think that that's going to happen. I think we've seen his ceiling in the Lions organization. It's time to move on, and I guess take the swing of the fences. But there's, again, I just say you're swinging with Stafford's career. You've got your quarterback. You've got all that. All
See,
the pieces
I don't know
you need.
I don't know if I agree with that.
You're going to stick with any coach for 3 years.
Not well. Stafford's only going to be 30 this February.
So he'll be 33.
And I think 33.
If what he's saying is like if we get it
after 3 years. Okay, I got you. See, I think you can. I don't think this is as tough a decision for Quinn because he can. I mean, it's tough. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not going to downplay the significance of firing a head coach in any situation. Like, that's always a difficult decision, even when it appears obvious in a situation like Hugh Jackson's with the Browns. But I think you can make so. Let's say we do fire Caldwell. I think you can hire a coach, give him 3 years, and then make another run with Stafford. I don't think Stafford's going to be done for another 6, 7, maybe 8 years.
On that. I think if you wait another year, then you start pushing that boundary. If you do it right now, you might have a chance at 2 iterations of something.
The reason I'll disagree with you is because of the number of hits he's taken and is taking. I think he's taking way more wear, and it's just a matter of time before we get that bad hit. You know,
even the
wonderful Tom Brady went out with a ACL at one point, right? I just don't.
Well, he's playing
our time
at a high level, but that's right. I mean,
that's different, right? You can't use that as the bar to measure by. And I think, and I hate to say it, I don't even want to put it out there in the ether, but there's going to be a year where Stafford gets injured. He's tough as nails, right? Stafford's so tough. Hashtag. He's the odds are, and they're against him, and he's been having a lot of healthy years, the whole Iron Man thing, right? And the way he's been getting destroyed in the backfield, that wears on you, man. That wears on your body. And I just don't see him getting. Look, he's not going to only play for 3 more years, right? You'll get another coach, right? But then you're talking about taking an aging quarterback at the end of his career and trying to build a team around him, right? And then you get your one run, and then you've got to find another quarterback, and that's not building a dynasty. And that's not building out for the long term, right? That's
I don't
a whole
give
difference.
A shit about a dynasty. I just want
well,
1 year.
No.
So, I want a team that consistently wins. I want a team that consistently wins. One run, that'd be great. Yeah, we'd celebrate it. But then we'd go back to this shit? Are you kidding me? That's fucking garbage.
Yeah, but I mean, I would rather see them like a Kurt Warner type situation, and obviously because like he changed teams, but like a late run type situation than I would like no situation, which is how I feel like it is
well,
right
no one's
now.
Giving you that option of no situation. But what I'm telling you is it's a shitty place to be to try to build a team around an aging quarterback, because the second he has a bad, especially in Detroit, the second he has a bad game, people are saying to play fucking Rudock now. They're saying, oh, but can you imagine what fucking Detroiters are going to say?
Being idiot.
No, can you imagine what it would be like trying to make a run in Detroit with an aging quote unquote quarterback? I just, it's a recipe for all kinds of other bullshit that isn't good. This is the key. This next coach for this team is the key to finding any kind of success, building a team that can survive in the post Stafford years, that can succeed in the post Stafford years. And that's what we need.
Now I'll say this. To your point about the hits that Stafford's been taking, I don't think you could hire Bill Belichick. If Stafford continues taking those hits, you're not going to do anything. If he continues to be the most sacked quarterback in the league and you're consistently behind schedule, you're not doing anything anyway. That offensive line needs to – we haven't seen a healthy iteration of them, so I'm not saying that Quinn needs to overhaul it, but if Stafford continues to take those hits, it's not going to matter who your head coach is.
But I mean, but at the same time, like, okay, how much blame do we place the current like status of the offensive line on the coaches? And I'm willing to give them some leeway, obviously, because they can't predict these, you know, they can't predict these injuries. But at the same time, like it, to have him getting hit as often as he is, there are a lot of bad offensive lines in the league, and they're still protecting their quarterbacks better than Stafford is getting protected. So, like, I'm willing to put some blame on the coaching staff for that, which is another, you know, feather in the get a new coaching staff in here. Maybe that will see some degree of improvement. Maybe that improves his longevity.
I think of Riley Reiff and how he's succeeded in Minnesota and how he played,
which
here.
Is exactly what I'm saying.
I'm
which,
saying that's exactly that what I'm a saying. Lot of it sits on the coaching.
That's exactly what I'm getting at. So,
Bryce,
I think we drove this topic into
to Reiff. I haven't watched Reiff in depth since he went to Minnesota. But from what I have seen of watching Minnesota's games, he's a better scheme fit there. He's a better scheme fit for their run game. They use a little bit more man and power concepts than the Lions do. The Lions really like to run zone, outside zone.
Yeah.
Of course, all teams are going to run man and zone schemes. It's just a mixture of, you know, or a question of what mixture and what concentration, but he appears to be a better fit there. I think what I've seen from Minnesota, they do those 45 degree pass sets. And that's a really, when you talk about scheme, the way they ask their offensive tackles to come out of their stance is really big. And some guys are just, it's not necessarily a matter of coaching. It's just how comfortable they are doing that. Like, some guys just cannot get comfortable doing a certain stance. And what I've seen from Minnesota, Reiff, and I would have to watch film to say this with like 100% certainty, but it appears that he is more comfortable in their pass setting schemes than he was in ours for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, Warford has looked good in New Orleans for stretches, but I've been told that he's a little bit inconsistent there too. But Warford's, New Orleans is another team that uses a lot of that those man concepts and run blocking, and Warford's more suited for that than he is for the Lions. So I think scheme's a part of it. But when it comes to pass protection, they've just been getting beat. And that may be scheme or coaching to an extent, but at the end of the day, you need your hog mollies to protect the quarterback. And I think it'll be better next year, because I suspect that, especially at this point in the year, that nobody's really healthy. And starting Don Barclay, Corey Robinson and Joe Dahl is not ideal, but something's got to give there.
All right. Hey
Bryce, can't keep letting Stafford get sacked.
We gotta roll on. We're gonna step into this a couple more topics. Got a couple things we have to talk about still. I'm gonna end with I saw a great post in the and I would really love this at this point, because the rage and hate I feel. Somebody posted, fire Caldwell during the game. How epic would that be to have him walked off the field in the middle of the game? The fans would finally unite against something and make things.
It would be a really like interesting way to finish the season. You know, if we manage to like find a way to be like down, you know, 30-0 against the Packers at home with Brett Hundley at quarterback, and they just like get him the fuck out of here. It would be a really like interesting way to end the season.
Yep.
And I don't wish ill on Jim Caldwell as a person. Like, I really want to make that clear though. Like, as a person, as a dude, like, he's totally cool in my book. I just like, and I can see us losing to the Packers. And I feel like, boy, if I already think I still think it's probably like a 50-50. I still think it's probably like a 50-50 that Caldwell keeps his job, based on what Quinn said the other day about, you know, reviewing the situation after the year. So like, I do believe that is a possibility already. If they manage to find a way to lose to the Packers, I don't see how he comes back from that.
So, another just came in from GB Chris 12, big post in the, it's from the Twitter. It's in the sub. The title is "Rev Up the Golf Carts, Boys." Martha Ford's in action, and it comes off a tweet from Dave Burkett. Lions owner Martha Ford did not respond to a question about Jim Caldwell's future as she was driven in a cart past the Lions locker room. Now, not responding doesn't mean anything, right? You could be like, "Hey, Martha, you gonna fire him?" Right? And she just didn't even look and kept going. But fire up your Nerf gun there, Martha. It's time. It's time to take him down. Yeah, I you know what? I'm in a fit right now. I'm beside myself. I'm getting more and more to the fire Caldwell now train. The more I think about the damage that he will continue to do to this team if he stays with us, the more.
Yeah, and I apologize to Bryce. I just don't agree with him. I just don't agree that we've seen talent development.
Yeah. Well, don't apologize. It's okay to have disagreements and further the conversation, but calling someone an asshole. You asshole. That just doesn't work. Hey, caller, how you doing? What's your name?
Hey, guys. This is Arthur, Meltzer23 on Twitter.
Arthur! I owe you a message, man. I know. Don't beat me up here, okay?
No, I won't give you too much crap just yet. No, guys. I don't have a lot in me right now. There is a couple things I want to talk about, though. One thing is, oh, man. At the last caller, seemed like a nice guy and all. But this is how... This is how bad Caldwell is.
It always starts with he's a nice guy, right?
This is like a Jeff Foxworthy, bit here. Caldwell is so bad that even when a slap he got, it's kind of Caldwell just fan. You know, this guy was a fan of Caldwell. It was obvious, right? Even when he calls, he has a hard time. You can't even spit it out. That's how bad Caldwell is. You can't say he's good. It's a buts and uhs and oh, but like, you know, just reaching, going for the bottom of the bag, seeing what you could pull out. There's nothing, man.
Here's your sign, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Oh, man. It's like, and I guess I'm being a little, you know, okay. I got to put my emotions in check. Game just ended.
I know. Okay. It's hard. It's hard today.
I'm sick of the disclaimers, though. Man. Can we stop with the fucking disclaimers, please? He's not the worst coach in the world. Okay, we got it. He's not the worst coach in the world. All right, that doesn't. You know,
I live on disclaimers, man. I can't.
Oh my god! And guys, with this thing with like, and this is. I think we all do this though. We all kind of, you know, at the end of the year, you know, we're all like draft gurus, right? And then we're all, you know, at the end of the year, we all know what assistants are good and bad. Nobody knows every single year. You want to know why? We don't think that there's, you know, a quick replacement because either you failed, you're unknown, or you're coming off of like 10 years of not coaching. There's only those three guys out there right now. Mm-hmm. There's no... Guys, we're not going to get Bill Belichick or McVay or somebody like that, whoever's in the playoffs and takes a deep run, or Zimmer or whatever. I don't even think Zimmer's that great of a coach, but that's neither here nor there. But you know what I'm saying. So, no, there's not nobody that you're going to be, even McDaniels. You know, I kind of like the guy. I think he needs another shot. I think he was just young. really cocky. McDaniels loves him some McDaniels, you know?
Right. Oh,
and
yeah.
I think he got in his way.
He sits there and says, I'll have some McDaniels for dinner.
The side of McDaniels. A little bit of Josh. But,
a big cup of Josh.
I'm thinking that just it's, and no, it's not, it's, and then the, you know, just we got all these phrases and cliches, change for sake of change. No, it's not a change for sake of change. It's just time to move on. That's it. You know, that's it. It's just time to move on.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm, you know, God, at least there's that, right? At least there's that. I do want to touch a little bit with Stafford, like Chris mentioned it earlier. You know, and you're right. We have to, we really, really have to be careful right now. And I trust Quinn for that. Yeah. Like, he's a smart guy. I think it's easy to start, you know, second guessing the GM when your team's not doing so hot. But let's take a step back. I don't think anybody thought this team was going 16-0. I thought they'd make the playoffs, but I also wouldn't have bet my house on it, you know? So let's just, I think he's, I trust in him that he's going to make a good call. I don't know if it's going to be the right call. Nobody knows if it's going to be the right call. Nobody knows if it's going to be the wrong call. But he's going to make a good call. He's going to, it's not, it's going to be coming from a good football mind, in my opinion. So
yeah,
whatever happens, we'll see.
That's a great point, because great GMs, great coaches, great people at all levels of the NFL make mistakes and maybe miss calls that they could have made. Right. And if you evaluate them on a single call, you're all wrong. It would be, and I got to go back and just do a quick plug about Dan Orlovsky, right? He's going to be co-hosting this week on the show. But I mean, if you evaluated Dan Orlovsky on a single play on that safety, right, you would completely miss the body of work and the great things he has done as a backup and as a quarterback in the NFL throughout his career. He's, you know, only 32 people in the world in a year get to play as a quarterback in the NFL. You say 64 if you want to talk about backups, right? That's not very many people, and he's good enough to do that for, what was it, 12 years, for a 12-year career?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good run. You've got a pretty impressive dude there that's doing that. And if you were to evaluate him solely on that single play, you would miss it, right? So Quinn could make a mistake here, and it could be costly, and there's going to be consequences for that kind of thing. But it has to be. It has to be the time to make a move. And you're right, trust in Quinn, because he's made, you know, every call hasn't been perfect. He's made a lot more right than wrong. He's certainly no Martin Mayhew. He's no fucking Matt Millen by any stretch, right? He's done great work out there. And look, we talk about it, and I've kind of evolved just through the show about my thinking about when the timing on the coach change, right? I knew he had a change, but when was the issue for me? And I'm certainly pushing more sooner than later, and saying, you know what, we got to trust in Quinn. At this point, we've got a great football mind, and you made a great case. I do want to really quick. There's a tweet that came through, and I'm sorry, I gotta hit this really quick, and love to get get your thoughts on this, Arthur. A'shaun Robinson is not a big Twitter guy, right? Effectively, mm-hmm. The last time he actually tweeted was October 29th. He had a couple tweets about cleats.
Yeah, no, I follow him.
Yeah, cleats for charity and stuff, and he's retweeted some guys. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't effectively tweeted something from himself since October 29th. And just about 12 minutes ago, as we record this, he tweeted, "Fuck!" exclamation point.
And that's it?
Yep.
Or is there something else coming?
No, that was it. That was it. I love this guy, right? I mean, you can tell he's angry. You can tell he's a guy that's quiet. He doesn't put himself out there.
No, he just looks that way, Chris. He was angry. That guy could be on cloud nine, and you'd be like, "Oh, I'm not fucking with that guy."
But he is right. He's like a stone exterior, right? And he's he's one of those guys that you just you can't read. You don't hear anything from him. I think that's pretty telling for a guy who doesn't wear his emotions on his sleeve or doesn't really even speak out, right? To see him come out with a tweet like that, I think that's a bigger deal than anything else.
And you know what, Chris, that kind of brings me, and I'll kind of come back. I want to come back on the coaching thing, but just real quick. Now, these guys, you know, as upset we are, you know, obviously they're upset, blah, blah, blah. Well, I just think that we see it, right? And we're sitting here, we're saying, okay, well, because you go back to the argument of, you know, the consistency and, you know, not changing coaching staff because it's, you know, but we know what we have, okay? It's not changed, really. It's really, like, been, like, I mean, how many times do we got to watch? It's like watching them, you know, I love this team, man. And I'm going to watch them no matter what, even when it's difficult. But, man, oh, man, is it just not like, so, I mean, if I'm just a dude, right? I'm just a fan. I'm a pretty knowledgeable fan, I believe, but I'm just a guy, you know? If I know what the hell's going on, imagine what these guys, these coordinators that get paid millions of dollars, they know what the hell's going on with this team. It's like we've seen it, you know, we've seen it time and time again, and it's just, I don't know. These guys, I think, especially with, you know, a few weeks ago, with the Tate and the Quinn quotes, I think these guys, you know, they know that this coaching staff is, you know, they're no McVays. And I know it's easy to, you know, everybody keeps saying McVay and Shanahan, but it's true, man. I mean, they don't have it, you know?
Well, and let's not forget the players went to bat for this coaching staff.
Yeah.
Last year they went to bat. I don't know that they want to eat that crow either. So, It's part of the deal, right? I mean, they have to face Martha Ford and say, yeah, maybe the players coach wasn't our guy. But all right.
Well, like this right now, guys, just last thing I want to say here is just, you know, as far as what happened, you know, last year with this coaching staff, it's just once we move on, we don't know, you know, whatever comes about, you know, We just got to move on, man. I mean, I'm just kind of, that's where I'm at this point. So I appreciate the time, guys.
Yeah, no, thanks a lot, Arthur. And I'll get with you here. Give me another day or two, probably 26th is 27th. I'll get back with you.
All right, buddy. All right, cool. Take care, guys. Have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
yep,
you too.
Have a good one.
Radio for one right there. All right. Hey, so Case, there's one more point I want to talk about before we close it out. I mean, the show for me was an evolution of thinking. So I already feel better. It was a little therapeutic. But let's talk about something, because this is breaking news today, and I think it's important, and we'll talk maybe a little more with on Tuesday, and I know you're tied up and can't make it, so that kind of sucks, but I'd like to get your thoughts on what we know now. Rumor is that the Packers may have an accounting error on how they handled the injured reserve designation for Aaron Rodgers, and that the rules say that Rodgers has to be released. Am I getting this right? Is this like really possible?
Well, and the truth of the matter is, I'm sure we'll find out a lot more about this probably before the show comes out Wednesday. There'll be more information here. Chances are that they'll just end up being fined or something. I think, you know, probably the best case scenario we can hope for is that the Packers might be like docked a draft pick or something like that. But the situation was Aaron Rodgers came off IR, played a game, he may or may not have actually re-injured his collarbone. Whether or not he actually re-injured it is, you know, actually irrelevant, because to go back for the same player to go back onto IR, they have to have a different injury designation. If they go back onto IR with the same injury they got brought off of IR on, which is what happened here, technically they have to be released at the end of the year, or excuse me, they have to be released when they are deemed healthy. Which I mean, the Packers could, you know, decide when to decide that he's, you know, healthy in the off season. But I mean, what that would theoretically do, because I mean, assuming they wouldn't do it, you know, prior to the end of the season, it's not like he'd hit the waivers, which was in the initial thought, you know, well, like, what if they had to release him right now, you know, he'd hit the waivers and he'd end up on the Browns, which would be crazy. But no, what'll happen is that, you know, they won't designate that he's, you know, healthy enough to return until sometime in the off season, which would make him a free agent, which should, you know, mean that the Packers could, you know, re-sign him, although there would be like $17 million in dead cap space. But my guess is that the NFL is just going to say, well, you guys fucked up and you know, fine them either a monetary amount or slap them on the wrist with a low draft pick or something like that. But it's up in the air enough at this moment that who knows what exactly is going to happen. So it is definitely something that we should all be paying attention to as it unfolds over the next week or two to see, you know, what kind of information comes out from the league, because the league, I don't believe, has made a statement on it at all at this point, at least not to my knowledge at this moment in time. They may have today, I don't know. But it'll be very interesting to see what the league has to say about the situation, because that's when we'll get an indication of exactly what's going to go down.
There's going to be a whole bunch of lawyers pouring through the rules and the bylaws over Christmas this year. This is going to come.
It could end up costing them like a 2019 draft pick if it goes to courts and all these kind of things. So
right. Oh yeah. It's got the potential to. I mean, this is like. I mean, everyone uses this comparison, and maybe it's just too easy to make. But like when Watergate broke, right? It was just a little thing, a little like pinprick, right? And then all of a sudden, it blew up in this giant thing. I think we just saw the pinprick on this thing. I think this is going to blow up huge because there are a lot of teams in the NFL that would love to see Aaron Rodgers hit the market. Just
including boom. Us.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I would love that. Reasons, how sweet right? would that be, man?
For a whole not number
only
of
would,
reasons.
Not only would the Packers have to eat $17 million in dead cap space, they'd lose their franchise quarterback, and he'd go out of division. So unless
the Bears got him,
the Vikings or the Bears went after him, which would be ugly would. As well.
But they would, right? They would. But there's all kinds of things that – there's a whole slew of things that have to happen.
I think the Jaguars would be a great fit for Aaron Rodgers.
Great landing pad for him. I'd love to see the Jaguars get good. no, that's it. And so this is going to be hard because they, you know, the NFL is going to have to make a call on this. And, you know, who was it? The tight end from the Broncos, Elvis. Is Elvis? Wait, no.
Well, not Elvis
doing the fax thing. Yeah, the defensive.
Yeah.
The whole fax thing. It didn't get picked up, and the whole thing. That was an accounting error, just like this thing is with Aaron Rodgers, and it was enforced 100%. This is going to be.
This would be bad for the NFL. Like I think like the NFL is going to see this as bad for their brand. So
no matter what happens, it's bad for their
right.
brand.
So like that's why I suspect that they're just going to get slapped with some kind of fine or lose a draft pick or something like that, as opposed to actually enforcing that they have to make him a free agent. So,
yep. I see a modest lion in the live chat saying that the Browns need a quarterback. The problem is, we'd still have to see that stupid pedophile mustache in the preseason every year when we freaking play the Browns.
Yeah, right. With that, for a quarter as opposed to 8 quarters a year, that would be all right.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us this week. Great live showcase. Great job. I'm glad we went early. And one more game, one more live show, and then we're thinking, you know, you can hit us up with ideas as well. Thinking of other ways and other times to do some live shows with you guys. So let us know what you think. We're going to keep brainstorming some stuff out here. But for now, that's going to do it for this week. Remember, hit that subreddit. Let us know what you think of the show. We're looking for your involvement and your help to help us make this show better. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. We've got stuff coming for those Patreon people. Just $1 or more a month, and you'll get access to that great content. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and on the Twitter Maker. That's where we make that Twitter cheese. At DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast. Best place to see Case.
With no pants on.
All right. Don't forget, we talked about it a little bit. We got the Amazon. We got the Fanatics. We got your SeatGeek. Anything you want to do, any place you want to go, check it out. Go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. There's a couple links on the graphics, or you can just go to the main menu and hit that shop link. Those things all support our site, support our show, and support what we're doing. It's a great way to help us out by doing something you were going to do anything. Anyway, it's just an extra click. And no extra cost to you. All right, don't forget to call us on Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or you can hit us up on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Those messages make it on the show, and we get to talk about you a little bit. It's a lot of fun. Also, don't forget to visit on the dailies, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. We got great articles, great content, the kind of stuff that makes you tingle down low. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast while you're there so we can come in your little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in, And we're going to see you the next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Let's go, baby.
Lions on three. One, two, three. Lions!